I want to introduce you. I think he's an extraordinary talent in this movie, which I just watched with you for the first time. And so I'm going to be all pro here, but this is a really, this is a fine film. He is the writer and the director, and of course he played Sugarman in the movie. Started as a stand-up comic among his films, though his writer and director are Upside of Anger, Search for John Kissing, The Sex Monster, Indian Summer, Crossing the Bridge, the HBO series Mind of the Married Man, and as an actor he's been in several films from Minority Report, Diner, Contender, so many things. What a talent, Mike Finder, right there. Well, congratulations on this. I know this has been a real project for you to get to this point.
Is this on?
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, though, what was the genesis, what inspired you on this script, you know, to write this? And a lot of people have talked about dealing with 9/11, is it too soon, you know, with the films that came out last year and everything. This is a different take, completely, obviously. But I'm wondering what inspired you to do this in the first place.
Well, I just thought there should be a different take because I was in New York on 9/11 and I was actually live on the air. Diane Sawyer was interviewing me on Good Morning America when the first plane hit and they cut to emergency report breakthrough. And I was stuck there for 5 days because all my luggage was in a car from a driver that I got separated from, and my cell phone didn't work, and I went down to Midtown to another interview, and they wouldn't let us in the building, and when I asked why, the lady goes, look up, and I looked up, and the towers were burning, and it was just an awful day, you know, and that night, we were wandering the city and talking to people. And there was a woman in Bryant Park, and she was crying, and all these people were helping her. I could only imagine what she had lost. And about 3 years later, my wife and my two kids and I were in New York, and we were walking down that same area, right, near Bryant Park, and I thought, you know, there are people that day hasn't ended for yet. You know, that day is still, it's just one long September 11th. And the world goes on to the tsunami and Katrina, and the spotlight just goes off to the next. And these people still have to wander the streets. And I thought that would be a good story worth telling. And then I wanted to tell a story which I wanted to deal with a subject which is the, you know, the restorative powers of communication, you know, about how when you have someone to talk to, so ultimately we tried to draw two characters that for completely different reasons had no one to talk to and weren't talking to anybody. So for me, you know, the movie kind of got written from that Chinese restaurant scene back.
Yeah. Wow, and communication does seem to be the theme of this.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
really, you know, there's other elements in it, and grief, and yeah, I haven't seen grief handled quite this way on the screen in a long time, especially from a major studio. This is not the kind of film that we see studios doing that much. This is more of an indie kind of feel to it, you know, that it has something that's very personal.
Oh, they never would have made the movie if it weren't for Adam Sandler. They weren't interested. No studio was interested in this movie at all. They never would have. This was just all about Adam Sandler wanting to, for some reason, play the role, which was fantastic. And, you know, he just knew something was there for him. You know.
How did you get it to him? How did he get cast in this?
Actually, you know, originally I was going to do the movie with Javier Bardem in the Don Cheadle role, and Bardem was at my office, and I had written it for Tom Cruise, and we waited for a long time for Tom Cruise.
That's
to
real.
So, well, I like him. You know, and we had written it for him, and he finally came back and said to me, you know, that he liked it, but he didn't want to do it. Bardem goes over to Punch Drunk Love and my DVD thing, and he's like, "Who is this? Who is this? Who is this man? This guy's a great dramatic actor." And I said, "You don't know who that is? That's Adam Sandler. He's a comic." No, he's a brilliant actor. This is the guy." So I got, I called Adam and asked him to read it, and he loved it, but then he said he didn't want to do it. So like 3 months went by, and then he said he did want to do it. And I was actually walking in the streets of New York again when he called me. He said, "Oh, have you got anyone to do that yet? Because I still want to do it." And then Bardem fell out. So Adam and I called Cheadle, and I rewrote it. It actually became a different movie with Cheadle, and I liked it more. It became more American,
Yeah. I really like the structure of this film, too, because for the first third, it doesn't pound you on the head. You don't really know what's happened to him, and you're watching this character and sort of wondering it as it goes along, and, by the end, it just so grips you. I'm wondering, though, how much research you actually did, with people that might have gone through this.
We did a lot. We did due diligence because we knew we had to, and we knew that not only was it the right thing to do, but we knew that that was the way to really figure out how to do it. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot. Adam did a lot. Adam was with a lot of people. It actually kind of got a little strange because he would say to me, because I was dealing with therapists, and he would say to me, "Yeah, I sat in on this man's therapy session today." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "Well, it was a man who was in a horrible plane crash, but he lived in Africa." And I said, "What do you mean you sat in on him?" I mean, who just goes, "That's Adam Sandler, I'll let him stay. I'm having nightmares." I didn't understand that, but he would ask people, "Well, do you mind if I sit in and listen to you talk?" And they did, because that to me is, I don't want any movie stars in my therapy.
Is it true you write, when you write a script, you always write with the actor in mind?
Yeah, I do. I tend to, and then they tend to say no. So then I, rewrite it with another guy in mind. But I think it's a smart move.
Yeah. And you write with music. I mean, the music is so
absolutely
pervasive
in
this movie. But when you're actually writing the script, you're hearing these songs.
I'm listening to the music over and over and over again. It's really funny because I'm writing another movie now about a guy who's a crooner. He wants to be a crooner, and he's listening to all these, Dick Damone and Perry Como. And, I just know the people are looking at me in the elevator like, get a grip, Day after day, Andy Williams. Have you heard any modern music?
All your films seem musically inclined now. Of course, this title of the film came from the Who song, "Rain Over Me." What inspired you to name it that?
Well, because I just knew the guy was. See, to me, this is what we found in the research, that people become very, very good and disciplined, in fact, at filling their minds and their time with, useless stuff, so they don't have to think, And so I was thinking that he would really be thinking about music and music from a simpler time in his life. And I just knew, I just knew that he would love music and collect albums and I love The Who, and I love Rain Over, I love Quadrophenia and
Bruce Springsteen
and Jackson Browne and Graham Nash. And then we got Pearl Jam to cover that song, which was really an incredible thing.
Wow, and you actually have shown this film to some of the musicians.
Yeah,
the songs
I showed it to Graham Nash and Jackson and Pearl Jam and Roger Daltrey. I sat down with Roger Daltrey and watched the movie, and that was really great.
And their reaction to it?
They loved it.
Yeah.
They loved it. Yeah, they've been very supportive of the musicians. It's really been incredible.
I really like the use of New York in this film, because it's not like, you know, the obvious New York. It's just sort of, it's different places. It's like you say, the Chinese restaurant, it's that, but
you
really...
You know what we tried to do, which is, I'm really glad we did. We didn't have, I don't know if you noticed, there's no helicopter shots or skyscraper shots. Everything's from the sidewalk up, right?
Right.
Because everyone's things from, it's all about if you were wandering the streets in New York. And we shot with these new cameras that allowed us to shoot at night with no lighting. So you can see where, what your eye sees, these new cameras, you know, so you, the buildings are lit way in the distance, the way your eye is lit. So you don't have that kind of phony studio kind of night lighting.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Digital or?
Yeah, it was all digital, this movie.
Yeah.
This was a new Panavision camera. You know, there's some shots in here I don't like. They're a little problematic because we were learning. You know, we were working with a brand new camera and a brand new system. But sometimes we screwed up. But it's pretty good. I'm probably going to stay with these, with digital.
It looks really nice. And the go pitch, was Adam Sandler proficient on that?
Yeah, he's really good on that stuff. Yeah. And what happened was the city doesn't want you, you know, they were at the beginning, they said, you got to have a helmet on. And I said, that would look horrible. And they said, yeah, but we don't want to promote this kind of thing driving through the streets, you know. And I had a whole kind of Silver Surfer motif in my head, that Adam was the Silver Surfer going through the streets at night. And they wanted the helmet on, and it was horrible. They finally said, okay, but he can only go like a block at a time. We have to cut off, and Adam would just get on it and go, you know. What are the police going to do? We had to arrest Adam Sandler today. You
know? What do you hope? So this is finally going to open on March 23rd, and how big a release is it getting?
It's pretty big.
Pretty big. So, you know, what do you hope? That people... Do you think that people are going to say, oh, is it an Adam Sandler movie? Or what do you hope that the audience gets out of this? The audience that goes to see it.
I really hope they like it. I hope they're emotionally invested in it. And I hope that, you know, it's corny, but I kind of want you to be one of those movies where you go home and hug your wife and, you know, you hang out with your kids a little more than you normally would, you know? That's, you know, that's kind of what I'm going for, you know. But it's a hard movie to sell, and I don't have big expectations because, you know, my movies never really do that well, you know. I mean, you know, they don't. I mean, they always come out and they always, people say they like them, and then it's just hard to get these kind of people to go to these kind of movies, you know. I mean, you saw 300 open Friday night to $70 million, you know. I mean,
well, there's room for everything, which is one of the reasons, as you know, I really wanted to show this movie.
Oh,
and
and
one of the reasons, one of the reasons is I have a feeling that not every audience is going to automatically go to it, you know, and know what it is, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's why word of mouth screenings like this and getting audiences out there that might not normally, and that's why I want to open it up to the audience now and find out what you thought and see if you have some questions for Mike here. Yes, somebody just raised their hand right now. Right there, we got a mic for you.
You said you write your screenplays with specific actors in mind, so did you write Sugarman with yourself in mind?
Yeah, actually, there was more to Sugarman, but it was all comic relief, and it was really funny. But it was too funny for the movie, and I know that sounds like a show. But it was. It was throwing it off. It was just, we didn't need it. You know, there was a something that nobody liked this guy. Every time this guy opened his mouth, someone, who is this guy? I don't like him. You know, and it was a whole thing, and It just overpowered the movie, so I cut it out. But yeah, I kind of did write that one for me.
It's
trying to stay in SAG until I'm vested.
It's a great way to get great parts. It's just writing for yourself, you know.
Healthcare.
Yeah. Yes, right here.
Yeah, I spent my entire life in New York. Just moved out here a year ago, and I have to say, for those 2 hours, I felt like I'm back.
Thank you. That's nice.
Other questions? That was a statement, actually. Yes.
I like your films because they tell a story all the time. I love The Upside of Anger.
Thank you.
And I was really shocked at how great Adam Sandler was in this movie. I thought terrific in this.
Yeah, he's a really talented actor. He really is. You know, if you saw Punch Drunk Love, you know, I mean, I knew how good he could be. And I've known him a long time, you know. I never knew him well, but I know he's a really good guy, and there's some kind of humanity about him, that, you know. So I had never had a doubt. He was the one. He kept saying to me, you know, I don't know if I can pull this off in rehearsal. We'd rehearse at the end of the day, and we'd go down the elevator, and he'd say, I don't know who my guy is. I don't know what. And I'd say, you know what, Sandler, you're going to be so good in this. And, you know, about the third day in, he started to go, hey, I'm pretty good, huh? I'm getting it, right? And, you know.
But there is that scene, you know, where he reveals, finally, the story of what happened. And, I mean, that appeared to be, like, one take, camera on him.
Yeah, that was he really broke up during that take. I'll tell you, I have to say, I almost cut that scene from the movie. I know. I just goes to show you how crazy you get in the process. I just thought it was too corny and too much emotion, and I was uncomfortable with all the emotion. And I showed it to Sam, and I said, I think I'm going to cut that scene. And he said, I'll kill you. And, you know, it was too much emotion for me, you know, but now I realize that I was wrong. So.
Yeah, you were absolutely wrong on that. Because sitting here as an audience member, you are almost waiting for that, and that is as much catharsis for the audience as it is for the character, I guess. Yeah. It's a great scene. Yes, up there.
Hello. I just want to thank Pete for picking out this movie. I might not have come if I'd have known it was Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
No, my parents feel the same way. You know, when they saw the movie, they were like, we never would go to see Adam Sandler movie, you know. And, you know, but, so that's what we have to get over, you know.
Yes.
Your use of the music was fantastic. You credited Jackson Browne with only one song, St. Mark's, but you had this at the end.
That's still St. Mark's.
That's what I thought.
That's still St. Mark's, and that's available on iTunes only.
No, he did it live when he was in Thousand Oaks last year.
No, I know, but it's on the acoustic album that's only available
on
iTunes.
Album,
yeah,
right.
And that's why I showed it, because it's a great album.
Oh, it's a great album. Yeah. The use of how he needs the music and how the songs you chose were incredible.
Thank you.
Yes, right there. Yes.
Do you worry about the fact that Sandler's fans will go to this movie and it's not what they're expecting, but as these two people just said, it's an Adam Sandler movie, I'm not a fan, I won't go see it because it's Adam Sandler?
Yeah, are you kidding? It's keeping me up at night, you know? That's the problem. You know, but I also think that he has grown a lot of fans for his drama, and with Spanglish and Punch Drunk Love, and, you know, word of mouth, like you say, and the reviews, I guess, so far have been pretty good. You know, so you know, there were people. I don't know. Honestly, you can't tell. You just can't tell what people are going to go see. You know.
How do you get someone like Donald Sutherland to use such a small role like this? And why wouldn't you use someone that you didn't have to pay so much?
Donald Sutherland was great, though, in that role.
Yeah. Well, because he's Donald Sutherland, and he has so much veracity and weight to, you know, his, you know, and he liked the script. He liked the script, and he said, you know, it's only a couple of days' work. He didn't get paid a lot of money. And we got paid some, but not, you know.
That's the thing, you know, people say, why would a big star, you know, take such a small role? But English actors, for years and years and years, that's what they did. And, you know, it's the part.
Yeah.
The thing. Yeah, other questions? Yeah.
From which of your doctor friends did you draw the Alan Johnson role? Because the personality I have seen
in many of our...
It's really funny you say that, because my best friend is a dentist. So, I mean, really, you know. And I, you know, I, for some reason, I hang out at his office a lot, and I just, that's one of the reasons why I did that. And he actually has had a few weird stories, you know, like that girl, you know. I mean, people do weird things to dentists. I don't get that. Personally, I don't want to touch my dentist, but but that's true, you know, I mean.
Other questions? Yes, right over there. Yeah. Hi, right to the left here. There you go.
You said that you're going to shoot your future films in digital coming up. And can you speak to some of the advantages of shooting digital? There's a lot of people who are on one side of the fence and other people on the other side of the fence. I thought you couldn't even tell that it was digital. It looks so good.
It's getting there. It's getting there. And I think that people that, you know, are sticking with the old technology, you know, I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's only, you know, I think they're just holding on to old stuff, you know. I like the newness, I like the new technology, you know, and I like, it allows the actors to keep going and not have to reload as much, and the lighting is easier at night especially, and I just like it. I like the look of it. It feels realer to me.
Do you think overall it's more cost effective, you can move quicker?
It's definitely cost effective.
Right.
Yeah, thanks. That's a Panavision camera. It's a new camera. The Panavision, it's a film camera. They just took the back off of and put a VCR on the back of it, you know, so they're getting better with them, you know.
I think it's called the Genesis.
The Genesis, exactly.
Any other questions? Yeah, way back in the back. Oh, there you are. Yeah, I always get way in the back. Wait for the mic, because we can't hear up here.
Okay. That's true, I do. She's referring to something I said earlier.
How long did it take you from thinking about it, to writing it, to getting it to basically completing it?
This one, a couple years. A couple years, maybe two years. 3 years at the most. But it was quick. This one was quick.
Yeah, right down in front.
Adam Sandler's character. Sorry. I kept thinking about Bob Dylan, first song. Is there a particular meaning behind that, or is that just me?
No, everybody sees that. You know, everybody sees that, and they look alike. The bottom line is, you don't notice it until you put the hair on them, you know, but they look alike. You know, they got very similar facial structure. And, you know, in the script it always said that he wore a Jufro, you know. You know, even, you know, in the early drafts it was described him as, you know, hadn't cut his hair in years, you know. And that also came from people we talked to, so they just stopped cutting their hair and their nails. And it's not in the movie. But it's in the trailer, actually. But, you know, we found this one guy that slept in his closet for some reason because he liked the walls real close to him, you know. And so Adam, in the movies, Charlie sleeps in that closet, you know. And so we found a lot of things, and one of them was the hair. And so when we started working on wigs for Adam, because Adam's hair grows apparently straight out, and it really looks silly, you know. So when we started looking at it, it just looked like Bob Dylan, you know?
Yes, right here.
I thought it was great. I don't think you're going to have any trouble selling that. I'm telling everybody I know to go see it.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Yeah, got time for a moment.
It was a wonderful film. I almost didn't come because of the 9/11 subject, and I want to give you a lot of credit for the respect you had with it. When you did the research, did you get a lot of pushback from people? Is that a sore subject to
No, but when we started making the movie, we started getting a lot of calls from 9/11 victims' families groups, you know, because they're very close. They've gotten very close, as you think they would be, and they were really, really like, what are you doing? How dare you? And we need to see this movie. And they were really a little upset until they saw the movie. And then they loved it, and they said, you know, thank you for doing this. And I said, I try to tell you that, you know, but, you know, I mean, I didn't say that, but that was my feeling. You know, I kind of knew that would be once they saw it, because we did do it with respect. But they were really brittle about it.
Yeah.
About depicting the victims' family, the people that are left, the survivors, you know, they just don't want to be depicted. They didn't want to be seen as, they said, oh, is this about a loser, and a guy who denies he had a family and that kind of thing.
Right here.
Yeah. It's a wonderful film.
Thank you.
Why did you choose to blur some of the shots at the beginning?
That's just bad photography.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a restorative ending. There's a feeling of hope, you know, when you come out of this movie. It's not a packed Hollywood ending, but for both those characters, they both learned something from each other.
Absolutely.
That's
what I meant, though. Happy ending.
What? Oh, we're going back to his HBO series.
Right,
here.
Right. Okay.
Well, this one I think is going to have. I hope it has a happy ending.
Yeah. Different one than he's talking about.
And I want to thank you for coming out here and sharing this video.
That's good.
Yeah, he's in London. And